to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, with producer Mike Hiris, and we have a special show for you today. Boy, I'll tell you. We're going to have Sid Hartman in. He's a longtime Star Tribune columnist and WCCO radio personality who's been covering Minnesota sports for a half a decade, basically. He's going to join us on the Wobcast in a little bit, and then halfway through that interview, longtime Vikings trainer Fred Zamberletti is going to step in, and Fred and Sidney are going to talk about Vikings history. It's going to be pretty cool. First, though, I want to get into an important topic for the Vikings and for the rest of the NFL, and that is the topic of rules changes. The NFL is holding its annual spring owners meetings, which they do each March. And what happens before those meetings is the NFL Competition Committee meets, and they come up with proposals to change the rules of the NFL to make the game a better product and to make it a more competitive game. That happened last week. We have a full list of the NFL Competition Committee's rule changes, and we're going to go over a few of what we consider the most important ones and the ones that Mike and I think should pass. So we'll start out with instant replay. There are two rules proposals that NFL owners are going to go over this week at their annual spring owners meetings that have to do with instant replay. The first one is to have all instant replay review matters observed by the official in the booth, not the referee on the field. Obviously, as you know, right now the replay review process calls for the official to run off the field. The first thing he does is he puts on a headset, he talks to the official up in the booth, they go over what's going to be reviewed, then the official goes under the hood, he looks at the monitor, he watches replay from multiple angles, comes out from under the hood, puts the headphones back on, talks to the official up in the booth, they make their decision, they talk about where the ball is going to be spotted, what the down and the distance is, and how much time should be on the clock. The referee runs back onto the field and explains the replay review process and what the outcome is. It's just too long and complicated. So this proposal shortens that process where the official that is up in the booth will handle the entire procedure. Sounds like a good idea to us. The second one that has to do with replay review. As you know, any play that results in a touchdown is subject to automatic review by the official up in the booth. Good policy. The new proposal calls for any play that results in a turnover to also become subject to automatic review. Seems like a good policy. That's one the owners are going to bat around at their owners' meetings. The next one we'll talk about is overtime. As you know, the NFL made a change to its overtime rule that applied only during the playoffs, which seems kind of silly that you would have an overtime rule in the playoffs that's different from the one in the regular season. The one in the playoffs says that if the team that receives the kickoff first in overtime kicks a field goal, they do not win the game. The other team has a chance to receive a kickoff, drive down, and either kick a field goal to extend the game, which then it becomes sudden death, or if they score a touchdown, they win the game. That's the current overtime rule. This rule proposal calls for that overtime rule in the playoffs to become the full-time rule, to be the rule during the regular season as well. Seems like a no-brainer. Another one that happened, another proposal that has come about because of something that happened in the Super Bowl, is the penalty for 12 men on the field against the defense. This happened to the New York Giants in the last possession of, in the Patriots' last possession of the Super Bowl, where they were trying to drive down the field and score the go-ahead touchdown. The Giants were caught with 12 men on the field, but at that time it wasn't a dead ball foul, so the offense still centers the ball, runs a play. Meanwhile, precious time ticks off, and they're going against 12 men on the field. They have a small chance of gaining any yards. So in theory, a team could just have 12 men on the field on every defensive snap on the last drive of the game. The offense would never be able to drive down because they had one fewer offensive player than there were defensive players on the field. And while they couldn't drive down the field and they kept running plays, valuable time would run off the clock. Long story longer, this penalty would make 12 men on the field against the defense a dead ball foul and a 5-yard penalty. So the offense would get to move up 5 yards and no time would run off the clock because the officials would call the penalty before the snap of the ball. The next proposal we'll move to is moving the trade deadline from week 6 to week 8. Currently, the trade deadline is in week 6. A lot of people think that's too soon because when it's week 6, you don't necessarily know if you're a player for the playoffs or not. You don't know if you're a team that's in it to win. Are you a contender or a pretender? You don't necessarily know in week 6. Let's move this back to week 8. You have a little bit better idea of which way your season is going, and that might dictate how you conduct your business at the trade deadline. The last one we'll talk about has to do with concussions. Obviously, a hot-button topic in the NFL, the issue of head trauma and concussions. NFL Competition Committee has proposed a rule that will allow one roster exemption per week for a player who is listed with a concussion. Now, what this will do is, a lot of times you'll see teams that might want to hide a concussion on the injury report, or a player who want to hide a concussion because it's going to limit his ability to play. This rule will make it easier for teams to list a player as out with a concussion, because they'll get one extra player on their roster to take that player's spot. So that is just another example of the NFL trying to make progress in player safety, and specifically on the issue of head injuries. That's it for the NFL rules changes. Remember, there are other proposals that have been made, but those were the most important ones. Now, for these to pass, 24 of the NFL's 32 owners have to vote yes. And you're going to see that happen here, I would say, within the middle to end of this week, as the NFL owners meet down in Palm Beach, Florida at their annual spring owners meetings. With that, let's get into the main part of today's Wobcast, and that is our chat with longtime Star Tribune columnist and WCCO radio personality Sid Hartman. He comes into Sports Authority Studios and joins us on today's Wobcast. He's a close personal friend of the Vikings. Sid, how are you?
Very good today.
Good. Thanks for being here with us. You're around here all the time, sitting in the off season. What are you doing here?
I like the people here.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of them, and most of the time when I come out here, I got nothing to do with the radio job, got nothing to do with the newspaper job. Just sit around and chat. Like I just saw Fred Zamboletti come out and talk about old times. Got nothing to do with my job. Just a social part of it.
Yeah, and you've been doing that for a long time, Sid. The Vikings have been around for 51-plus years, and you've been with them for every step of the way. You've been with a lot of the Minnesota pro sports franchises every step of the way. But talk about your relationship with the Vikings, because you were around when Max Winter was here and when that founding group first started the Vikings back in 1961. What was that time like for Minnesotans?
Well, I'll tell you a story. Originally... Max Winter and his group accepted a franchise in American Football League.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they had a big luncheon to announce it. And they were going to have the draft here. And I kept on talking to George Halas and people in the National Football League, and they kept on encouraging me to encourage them to get out of that league, and they would get a team eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So one... night from about 10 o'clock till 3 in the morning, we met at one of the owner's companies, Mrs. Skoglund, and after 5 hours of conversation, Sheldon Kaplan, the former attorney of the Vikings, and myself sold those people to withdraw from the American Football League, and that today is the Oakland Raiders franchise.
Is that right?
That's the Oakland Raiders franchise. And Halas kept his word. And we got a National Football League franchise.
What were some of the most important moments in that process early on, back in the early 60s when the Vikings first started? Was it when they hired Bud Grant in the mid-60s? Was it drafting Fran Tarkenton? What were some of the milestone moments in Vikings history early?
Yeah, the milestones when they started. They hired Van Brocklin as coach and Bert Rose as general manager. And Van Brocklin was a very controversial guy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I wrote a column one day after they beat Green Bay and won the few expansion team victories, and I said, thanks to Tarkenton and Tingeloff studying a lot of film, they won that game. 6 o'clock in the morning, I get a call from Van Brocklin, come over, I want to talk to you. Who do you want on your side? You want Tarkenton or Tingeloff, or you want me? I said, I'll take Tarkenton and Tingeloff.
Yeah.
And that was the end of our relationship.
Okay. One of the most legendary figures in Vikings history is Bud Grant, and you have a great relationship with Coach Grant. Can you kind of talk about how that began and what your relationship is with him right now?
Well, I started in the newspaper business as a young guy in my 20s, and when Grant enrolled at the University of Minnesota. And we met the first day he came down here and went out to dinner, and from then on we were each other's closest friend.
Mm-hmm.
He could have had the job instead of Van Brocklin. He was coaching Winnipeg at that time. And he turned it down. He didn't want to start an expansion franchise. And then, I think it was 67, was that his first year? What was his first year? I don't know.
Yeah, 67.
He accepted the franchise offer. And from that day on, went to 4 Super Bowls, won a lot of championships, probably their best team. 1975, didn't get to the Super Bowl. They probably would have won that one.
Really?
That was the one where the famer, what do they call that?
The Hail Mary?
Drew Pearson caught the ball. Yep. Mm-hmm. No doubt he pushed. That was one of the sad days in Viking history.
Yeah. Longtime Star Tribune columnist Sid Hartman and WCCO radio personality. He joins us here on the Wobcast. Sid, what do you think about the stadium issue here?
Well, my big theory about the stadium issue is this. I don't think the Vikings and their lobbyists play the thing hard enough that this is not a real Viking stadium. It's a Viking stadium for 10 games a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stadium, for instance, we had about 7 or 8 different types of NCAA basketball tournaments, including a couple of Final Fours.
Mm-hmm.
That stadium would do that. It would have a Super Bowl. It would have truck pulls. It would have a lot of things. Indianapolis for the new stadium and Dallas for the new stadium have found out what happens, 300 different events a year. And that's the same story with the Metrodome now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all kinds of events. And I can't understand why the people who vote for that stadium don't realize that. They got a big break right now. They got the council voted in favor of the stadium. I think it's going to take time, but I think they'll get it.
Now, we got another man who's been to every single Vikings game in Vikings history, Fred Zambrilletti. What do you have to say about Freddie?
Freddie's a legend. He probably, if you're going to name 4 or 5 people who are the reason the Vikings are successful, he'd be one of them.
Let's bring in another guy who can give us a great historical perspective on the Vikings. That is Vikings longtime trainer, Fred Zambrilletti. Freddie was a trainer with the Vikings back in 1961, and he remains with the team. Now he's a consultant and team historian. He's going to help Sid and I break down Vikings history. Let's take a stroll down memory lane because we have you guys here. So we have a lot of great personalities in the Vikings locker room right now. Jared Allen is here and Adrian Peterson and Chad Greenway, guys who fans get to know their personalities really well. But back in the early days of the Vikings, who were some of the iconic personalities of the Vikings? If you go back to the 60s and the 70s and kind of the heyday of the Vikings, who are the personalities that stand out in your memories?
Well, Jim Marshall was one great character. He's the guy that ran the wrong way for a touchdown for the other team. Bud Grant did a fantastic job handling these guys. When Bud Grant came down here for that job, this is an interesting story. He sat down with Finks, and Finks had a list of all the guys. Half those guys were, I don't know, they weren't exactly drinking or eating the right stuff or doing things they shouldn't be doing. And Finks would go down to class and say, Joe Blow, what about him? Well, he's a bad guy. We ought to get rid of him. Can he play? And Finks, yeah, we'll keep him. Kept all those guys, and I think Fred will agree with me, he handled them pretty well.
I think the thing that Bud had was discipline. He seemed to be able to get by with it without being real threatening. I can remember one time we were playing at the old Met, and Carl Eller jumped off sides twice. Bud didn't have to say much. Bud could use his eyes and nod of his head. He nodded to Holloway very slightly, get him out of there. Didn't say anything. Carl came to the sidelines and he's kicking the sideline markers and really making a big scene. Bud never overreacted to anything. But slowly after a while, Carl's on the sideline and he's telling, trade me, get me out of here and everything else. And pretty soon, Bud took off his headphones and very quietly walked over to him. He said, Carl, you got a choice. You can shut up and sit down here, or you can keep talking, but start walking across to the locker room. And old Moose quieted down. After a while, Moose went back in the game. But that's the way it was.
One way for fans to get to know their team and some of their favorite players, one way to do that is through the media. And with Sid sitting right here, How would you characterize Sid's influence and the newspaper's influence on the Vikings throughout all the years that Sid has been here covering us?
Sid's been a very loyal guy. The only time Sid might get on a guy is when he was doing it for Bud Grant. But to tell him about something about a guy, and that would needle him along or something. But Sid's been, I think, the one thing you can say about Sid, he's very loyal. And he's very loyal, and he works hard. He earns his pay.
All right, guys, thanks for joining us on the Wobcast. Sid Hartman and Fred Zambrilletti, we could do it all day, but we got to run. Thanks.
Okay.
All right, one more quick thing before we go. Let's talk about compensatory picks. The Vikings were awarded two compensatory picks earlier in the week. Both of them are fourth-round picks. The Vikings have the 33rd pick of the fourth round and the 39th pick of the fourth round as compensatory selections. Now, the NFL awards teams compensatory selections if they lost more free agents than they gained and if those free agents ended up being good players for their new teams. That happened for the Vikings as they lost Ray Edwards to the Atlanta Falcons and Sidney Rice to the Seattle Seahawks. So for losing those players in the next draft, teams get compensatory picks. The Vikings got two fourth rounders, which is pretty good. I mean, some teams got four compensatory picks or three compensatory picks, which is more than the Vikings because the Vikings got two. But a lot of times those picks are teams that are four compensatory picks in the sixth round or two in the fifth and two in the sixth or two in the sixth and two in the seventh. That's good. We're happy for you got four of them. But the Vikings got two, but they're both in the fourth round. So more ammo for Rick Spielman and company to use in the 2012 NFL draft, which happens next month, and we're very excited for it. So with those two compensatory picks, the Vikings have 10 total picks in next month's draft. They have a pick in the first round, in the second round, and the third round. They have three fourth-round picks, a pick in the fifth round and the sixth round, and two picks in the seventh round. Now, those compensatory picks you can't trade. You have to keep those. But with 10 total picks, the Vikings are going to be flexible in the draft. They're going to be able to move up or down. If they find a player that they really, really fell in love with that is still available, they have a high grade on him and he's on the board and it's getting close to their pick, they can use some of those additional picks to trade up. The Vikings also had 10 picks last year, if you'll remember, and 9 of those 10 draft picks are still on the team. If the Vikings can follow up last year's draft effort with another solid one this year, the roster will take one step forward toward improvement. That is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. We're going to leave you with a classic from Bob Dylan. Take it away.
I'm writers and critics who prophesize with your pen. And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win for the time.